Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of A New Attitude with Lede. So in this episode, I'm gonna be sharing my experience with going through the artist's way, week number 7. Y'all, I think I've said this before, but one thing that I love so much is like content that kind of manhandles me a little bit, that kind of like roughs me up and is like calling me out and is like, girl, I see that bull and I'm gonna need you to change and to open your heart in this way. And I really love the way that, I think her name is Julianne, the author of this book. I'm so bad about remembering those little details, but I really love the way that she writes because it's like she has this beautiful blend of like that friend that will slap the crap out of you, you know, and just be like, get it together. But it's also very like gentle and loving. And so I think, as one of you guys put it in one of my live videos, a gentle kick in the pants. And this week did not disappoint. So if you guys are interested in kind of learning about the topic that we discussed this week and just some of the events that unfolded, then stay tuned. All right, so the main focus of this week's content was perfectionism. And it was perfectionism. And if you guys have been following my content for any length of time, you guys will know that this is like my cross. The cross that I have to bear in this life is working through my perfectionism in order to accomplish goals and things that I would like to accomplish. Like, perfectionism tends to be 9 times out of 10 the thing that holds me back from whatever it is that I want to do. So I'm constantly having to keep my perfectionism in check. And so it's very interesting because I did not realize for a long time that I was a perfectionist. The first time that I kind of came across this concept or thought was in my Fly Lady journey. I remember kind of reading through the Fly Lady's thoughts on perfectionism, and I was like, there's no way that's me. Have you seen my life, ma'am? Have you seen all the ways in which I'm on the struggle boat? And so I was like, I'm gonna read this book, but clearly she's not talking to me. And it was not until I started doing some of the activities that, you know, are laid out in the Fly Lady book. For example, only vacuuming your house for 10 minutes or only, you know, doing certain things and not finishing it to completion, that I started to realize, like, okay, there may be something here. This feels so uncomfortable to me, but this whole thought of handling these projects in bite-sized pieces and doing things little by little, this feels so foreign and uncomfortable to me. Maybe she's right. Maybe there is something here that I need to pay attention to. Because up until that journey, I always thought of like perfectionists as these people that are like, oh my God, I have my life together. Like everything in their life is done to, you know, the max with all the bells and the whistle. That's what I thought a perfectionist was. And I did not identify with that kind of life at all. And the Marla from the Fly Lady just opened my eyes to the fact that there is this whole other underworld of perfectionism that people can also exist in. And unfortunately, we don't really know that we're perfectionists, and so we kind of put ourselves in this loop and this spiral, and we don't even know what's going on because the word perfectionism doesn't even like come across our radar because we associate it with the people on the other side who's, you know, their perfectionism seems to be working out for them and they have the energy to do all the things. So I want to like segment just a little bit from this topic, because I would hate if, you know, you are a fellow perfectionist with me and you were not able to like identify it and you just feel like this is not relevant to you. Like, I would hate for that to happen. So I want to just take a moment to kind of talk about like what perfectionism looks like in my life from a homekeeping perspective and like how I used to do things versus how I do things now. And then we can talk about how it apparently has infiltrated this content creation journey. And then I would also like to kind of go through some quotes that I read in this week's chapter that felt like super piercing to my heart. I was like, oh my gosh, she called me out, y'all. Okay, so what did it look like in my homekeeping journey? A lot of times perfectionism looks like this, like, all or nothing attitude. So if I had something that I wanted to do, the only way that I could do it is if I felt like I had time to do it all. So you guys know, especially you guys are moms who follow my content, you know, if we have projects around the home, like let's say you have a closet that's like completely out of control and stuff, like pulling that closet apart, putting, you know, organizing everything, putting everything back, that could be like several hours worth of work. And so for days, months, years, I could walk by a project like that and feel so discouraged, so beat down. I'm like, how would I ever make time to clean this closet? Because, like, did you see my kitchen? Did you see my living room? I have so much, like, just normal daily stuff to catch up on. Like, what would I be doing taking, like, 2 to 3 hours to, like, work on this? And so I would just leave it there, and I would not address it until I had, like, a magical Saturday where I could sit and, like, do all the things and make it beautiful from top to bottom. And I don't care how exhausted I was. I don't care that halfway through the project, I was just like not wanting to do it anymore. You know, once you can't, there's no point in starting unless you could do it all. And so what that left in my life was just like so many projects around the home that made me feel like crap that I wanted to get done, but I just felt like I didn't have time. And how I think about it now is, no, I don't have time to do everything that needs to get done. However, I could break this down into little bitty pieces and make progress on it as I can. You know, like that closet, maybe I only have like 5 minutes today. I'm sure I could find like 10 things in here that don't belong and I could get rid of it. I'm sure I could do the same thing tomorrow. I'm sure that I could get a bucket and collect all of the medications and like have those sorted out another day. I'm sure that, you know, another day I could come back and grab all the hair products and put it in its own containers. I'm sure the next day I can like, I don't know, organize and fold all the time. You know, like I am in a place where I have to actively work to not see big projects as big projects. And I allow myself to see it as these little tiny mini projects inside of one fuller project. But when I was like back in my perfectionist days, I could not see that, oh, this closet is actually composed of a lot of mini tiny projects that I can do. I can squeeze mini projects into my life. But something just made me feel uncomfortable about the thought of like starting a project and not finishing it. And so that was very much a perfectionist attitude for me. And so now I actively try to look at things from a position of like, let's make progress on this. Let's take a few steps in the right direction. And like, I don't care how many days it takes me. It could take me like a whole 2 weeks to work on that closet. So what, you know, and I could just do it for 5 to 10 minutes every day on my lunch break. It could take me a whole 2 weeks. I don't care, because having an attitude of progress is going to get the closet done in 2 weeks, whereas having an attitude of perfectionism, like it could literally be months, if not, you know, a year before I could find the magical opportunity in my life to do that. So I just wanted to kind of share that story and that example of like how perfectionism can look like. You know, another thing was with a fly lady. She had us do, you know, like vacuum the floor in 10 minutes. And I remember the first time I did that, I was trying to vacuum this whole 3,500 square foot house in 10 minutes. And I was literally, it was like I was in a freaking Olympic triathlon, whatever. Cause I felt like I had to do the whole thing. And like, as I was going through, I didn't, you know, get every single speck off the floor. And I was like beating myself up the whole time. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. This is stupid. I'm doing such a bad job. And I was like, oh my God, like, as I was putting away the vacuum, I was just beating myself down about how horrible of a job that I did. But once I put the vacuum down and I kind of started walking around my space, I was just like, huh, like, yeah, it's not perfect. And yeah, maybe I missed a corner, but this feels so much better than what I've been living with. As it only took 10 minutes of my time, like, I don't feel like traumatized and like, I don't want to come back, you know? And this is something I could do way more frequently. And what I found is just that if I can increase the frequency, even if I decrease the quality, just increasing the frequency and the consistency, like I could indeed be able to like have my home, you know, vacuumed and tidy like everybody else's home. I just don't have to feel the pressure to do it all at one time, all or nothing thinking. So those activities revealed to me that there's totally another way to get things done. And if you feel like you can't make progress on something that's annoying you, more than likely you're approaching it in a perfectionistic way. More than likely, anything that you want to address in your home, there are little tiny steps that you could be taking to go in that direction. But half the time when you're kind of like being a perfectionist about it, you won't take the steps to go in that direction because you feel like your little tiny step is not good enough. It's only good enough if you do it all or if you take these big grand steps. So I've really had to learn to see the power in little tiny steps. And y'all know I never claim to have my life like perfect over here, but it has taken me way farther with everything that I want to do by looking for like what are the little tiny ways that I can move forward. All right, so now that we got that out of the way, what does that have to do with this journey, this content creation journey? So last week I told you guys I was really, really struggling with like writer's block. And I hoped that after I go through this 12-week project with the Artist Way, I really hoped that that would be one of the things that I could resolve, which is this like crippling writer's block. I only feel like I could show up when I'm inspired, and I really like to get on a consistent, predictable content creation schedule. But sometimes I feel like I don't want to like promise you guys that, you know, you'll have new content every Monday and Thursday, and then I like freeze up on like, you know, Sunday night and I can't make anything, and I just don't want to like let people down in that way. So I just show up when I can. If I'm inspired, great. If not, you know, whatever, I just won't show up. And so I was saying that that is not going to help me reach the goals that I want to reach with this content creation journey. And I really need to like unlock whatever it is inside of me that makes me freeze up like that, and trust myself to be consistent, trust myself to like know what I'm gonna produce, you know, the next month, so I can write out an editorial calendar and be organized. I just feel like I just sometimes struggle to come up with the ideas. And so I said last week, you know, I came across a podcast just as I was writing that, or after I wrote that, that was just like writer's block isn't real. And it was just talking about like perfectionism, and I'll be dang, I read chapter 7 and that is what we talked about. And so it was all about perfectionism. And I want to go through this book and just kind of read some of the quotes that just like really resonated with me and share my thoughts on them. All right. So the first quote that stood out to me was, "Perfectionism is a refusal to let yourself move ahead. It is a loop. An obsessive, debilitating, closed system that causes you to get stuck in the details of what you're writing or painting or making or whatever you're doing." I'm just adding that in there. "To lose sight of the whole. Instead of creating freely and allowing errors to reveal themselves later as insight, we often get mired into getting the details right." And I'm like, ooh, I know that that's true for me. I could sometimes like try to hold back mistakes. I could try to hold back errors and imperfections. And I feel like this kind of quote made me realize like, okay, it's okay, you know, to put out your crappy stuff. It's okay to put out the crappy content. And instead of like viewing it as like, oh, I don't want to put this crappy content out there. Oh, like, I don't want to be embarrassed. Like, put it out there and use it as insight. Use it as a lesson. You know, like, how are you going to get better if you don't? For me, I'm always looking for insight and wisdom. And it's like, you can like create and gather your own insight. Because once you put it out there and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, maybe I could have said it like this better. It's like you start to kind of build up on what you did and what you created, and you can nurture it and make it better over time. But if you can't even like get past that hump, like you have nothing to nurture, you have nothing to build up on, you have no lessons in which you could learn from. So it's like, I mean, you don't have to necessarily create and share like I do, but it's like, just create it. Whatever it is, the thing that you want to create, just put something together. And then, you know, and that creates the opportunity for you to reflect back on that piece and say, okay, next time, like, this is how I want to do it. And when I, like, deprive myself of the opportunity of, like, putting out my quote-unquote crappy content, like, I'm missing so many, like, opportunities to learn and so many opportunities to grow. So this definitely challenged myself. And, you know, it is right. Like, when I don't allow the quote-unquote crappy content to come out, it is a refusal of letting myself move ahead. And it does make me feel, in a sense, like I'm stuck and I don't want to feel like that. So it's just like, let the crappy content out as a way to be able to grow and to move forward. So yeah, I thought that was a nice little quotey quote there. Let's see. This is also another sentence that captured me. It says that the perfectionist writes, paints, creates with one eye on her audience. Instead of enjoying the process, the perfectionist is constantly grading the results. I'm like, ooh, that one got me too. I'm pretty guilty of that one. And so even just the whole idea of like one eye on an audience, I feel like, you know, when you create content, that is something that they kind of like embark on you, like, understand your audience. What is your audience like? And da, 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 da. And I do feel like there's merit in that. But if it's like causing you to freeze up, you know, maybe it's an ideal thing to take a step back. And then I feel like another concept throughout this chapter was just talking about learning to enjoy the process, like be in the process, like enjoy the act of being in the process instead of, you know, already looking toward completion, already looking for like the final end product and like grading yourself. Cause like, you don't know where this process might end up. You might even create something even better than what you had in your head. But like, if you're constantly evaluating what is in front of you now, what you're working on now, based on this like imaginary end goal that you have, that you don't know exactly where this is going to end up, it can prohibit you. You know, you can just be kind of beating yourself up when this is helping you get to where you want to go. I had to learn this lesson actually when it comes to like doing hair. I know this is kind of a tangent, but I have like natural hair. And I remember when I was younger, I had to learn how to like braid my hair so I could look, you know, semi-decent at school or whatever. And I remember I would be like going through, like I would have like half of my head done and I'd be like, oh my gosh, this looks so awful, because I would be comparing what I had to where I wanted to go, you know. And I'm using hair, but this could be even like arts and crafts. If you guys have ever done an arts and crafts project and you're like in the middle of it and you're like, I'm not sure about this. And like, if you decide to be a perfectionist in that moment, you could just like ditch the whole thing and be like, I'm not even gonna be bothered with this. This is not going in the direction that I want to go. But what I would do is, you know, because in my particular life situation, like I didn't feel like it was an option to quit, because I like, I need to do something with my hair. So I would keep going. And then at the end, I would have like these little finalizing things that I would do. I would like put my gel in, I would like put my little head scarf on, tighten it up. I would sleep on it. And girl, like, I would be so happy with the results. And I really learned that sometimes you just got to trust the process, and the process might be ugly and the process might be messy, but like, if you like stick with it, you know, you can always like work with the results, and it may not be exactly what you were hoping for, but it's like, you don't even give yourself an opportunity to see what could be if you're like giving up on something just by how it looks during the process. Like, you know, like, give yourself the opportunity to like finish, and then, you know, evaluate the finished product from there. And then even if you evaluate the finished product from there, that's an opportunity to like be like, okay, this is how I'm going to do it differently. This is the insights that I've gathered. This is how I'm going to tweak it. This is how I can make it better for next time. And you just gave yourself an opportunity to learn. But it's like, you miss all that if you just kind of look at the process and you kind of give up because the process is ugly. So I was just like, thought that was really cool. And then also she says here, the perfectionist has married the logic side of their brain. You know, and you know, people always say that we have like the logic side of your brain, and then you have the other side of your brain that's like more emotional, more creative. And yeah, and I can totally see that as well. Like, especially I'm trying to do something creative, but I'm always like researching, always looking for a framework, always looking for structure. And it's kind of like, you know, yes, the logic side of your brain is important, but like, let's give, you know, that other side of your brain a chance to shine. What else? She said, a brilliant descriptive prose passage is critiqued with a white glove approach. What about this comma? Is that how you spell blah, blah, blah? For the perfectionist, there are no first drafts, rough sketches, warm-up exercises. Every draft is meant to be final, perfect, set in stone. Okay, I don't think I have time to... This is going to be like a forever long episode if I elaborate on all this, but I'm like, yeah, I could do that. I could see myself... I could see myself in that statement, like, especially with content. Like, I just feel like I want everything to be beautiful and polished and, you know, but, you know, it's okay to have like a rough draft. You know, you can always build upon your rough draft. Now, whether you decide in your journey if it's helpful to release your rough draft, you know, that's for you to decide. I personally would like to, for the sake of consistency, but just giving yourself an opportunity to create it. Let me make sure I'm still recording while I'm really over here just talking. Okay, I am. So, yay. All right. Midway through a project, the perfectionist decides to read it all over, outline it, see where it's going. And where is it going? Nowhere, very fast. The perfectionist is never satisfied. The perfectionist never says, this is pretty good. I'll think I'll just keep going. And like I said, I can relate to that feeling of just like, wanting to ditch something, wanting to trash something, because I'm in the process, and in the process it's not looking great, and like I don't give myself the chance to like finish it before I then evaluate it and think about how I can make it better for next time. Perfectionism is not a quest for the best. It is a pursuit of the worst in ourselves, the part that tells us that nothing we do will ever be good enough and that we should try again. No, we should not. And I'm just going to read this. She says, a painting is never finished. It simply stops in interesting places, said Paul Gardner. A book is never finished, but at a certain point, you stop writing it and go on to the next thing. A film is never cut perfectly, but at a certain point, you let it go and call it done. That is a normal part of creativity, letting go. We always do the best we can by the light we have to see by. And so, once again, I just really thought that perspective was interesting. It is the pursuit of the worst in ourselves. And I can totally see that. A lot of times, an issue that struggling perfectionists have is that we can sometimes ignore all the progress that we made. We can ignore all the great things that we did. We can ignore, you know, all the hard work we contribute into a situation, and we can eyeball that one particular aspect that wasn't quite right. And her argument here is that it will never be 100% quite right, but at some point you just have to like let it go and walk away, because this pursuit of perfectionism, like, is there's no such thing as a perfect ending point. There's no such thing as a finish line. And by insisting that there is, you know, all we're doing is just like ignoring like the 99% of it that's great, and we feel like it's not good enough because of that 1%, and we can really hone in on ourselves. And I feel like we do that. This is a trap that we can fall into a lot as moms, or something I've struggled with. At least I could go like a whole day knowing that I gave my everything to my family. I made sure y'all were fed, I made sure y'all were bathed, you know, I gave you my love and attention throughout the day. I cooked, I cleaned, I did all the things. And then once I put my kids to bed, I'm like, oh no, I'm a horrible person because there's dishes in the sink, you know? And I can just really like pinpoint that one thing and allow that one thing to define how I feel about myself while ignoring all the other amazing things that I attempted to do. And so it's like, apparently, you know, that can show up in your creative journey as well. And then, let's see. I think that, you know, the rest of this was just talking about, you know, like taking risk and things like that. But I really wanted to focus on that perfectionist section because I was like, ooh, I feel called out. I feel called out a little bit. All right. Another thing that I feel like I wanted to like kind of be mindful of in my life as a result of reading this book is just looking for like opportunities for synchronicity. She describes synchronicity as like, you know, you say that you want something, and then all of a sudden you see things unfolding in your life that kind of feel like a coincidence, and they kind of align with the thing that you just said you wanted. But for most of us, we didn't really mean it when we said it, or we're actually too scared to take that risk. And so there's this opportunity for synchronicity, and you just kind of ignore it and pretend like it wasn't a big deal. And so from her perspective, like, synchronicity could literally just be, oh gosh, wait a minute, got a little baby crying. Okay, you might hear some background noise, but it's gonna be okay. Synchronicity could literally just be like God or whatever higher power it is that you believe trying to help guide you toward whatever it is that you want. And for her, she encourages us to believe that when those coincidences happen, that it's not just a coincidence, like it's intentional and it's designed to help you. And it's like, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna ignore those synchronicities, or are you going to like take advantage of them and leverage them? And so I've just been like more open to that perspective. There's something that has happened in my personal life that I'm not ready to share yet, but I was kind of exploring this idea with my husband, and then all of a sudden I just see, like, you know, things kind of like that kind of popping up that confirms that, okay, I do need to go in this direction, or that kind of like confirms the merits of going in that direction. And so I'm just like, okay, like, you know, before I would just be like, oh, that's a coincidence. But now I'm just like, okay, like maybe this is, you know, some type of like guidance or whatever. So I'm just more open to that thought. That's how I'll say that. Kind of like last week when I was complaining that I'm like tired of this like chronic writer's block. And then I see moments later, this video or this podcast, writer's block's not real. And this whole conversation of perfectionism before I get to this chapter, I'm like, wow, that, you know, like before I would just be like, oh, that's, you know, just a coincidence. But now I kind of feel like, okay, it's like I asked for help in this area. And now, you know, I'm kind of noticing these little gentle nudges that are kind of helping me navigate that. And so I'm just kind of more open to the fact that it's by design, you know. And so anyway, I thought that was a cool concept. One last thing that I wanted to talk about too, was she had us do this exercise of like jealousy. She also had us do this exercise about anger as well. And she's like really a strong proponent that uncomfortable feelings have a lot of information in them if you allow them to be that for you. So in this chapter, she talked about jealousy and how typically when you're like experiencing jealousy, or you see something that, you know, somebody has and it makes you feel jealous, or you feel some type of way about it, she was like, basically, I won't be able to say it as beautifully as she did, but that could be a sign that this is like an area of your life that you would love to like move closer to, or move forward to, or that you're drawn to, but for some reason, like you're repressing that area, you know, of your life. Like you're repressing your desire to like move closer to that. And so she kind of had us go through this exercise where you kind of like explored, like, have you ever been jealous before? And who were you jealous of? Why were you jealous of them? And like, what creative risk can you take to move forward in that direction? And so I think the whole thing about like creative risk, like for some reason you're repressing that. For some reason, maybe it feels scary. Maybe it feels risky for you to tap into that. Maybe you feel like, or perceive that there's an obstacle that's like keeping you from having what it is that somebody else has. And so she just encourages you to think about, well, like, what are little things that you could do to start moving into that direction? Because that, in her perspective, that's what jealousy is. It's a sign that, you know, there's something over there that, you know, is attractive to you. There's something over there that you like, and you're holding yourself back for some reason. And how can you start to, instead of like repulsing it and feeling like some type of way about it, how do you actually just get closer to that thing? And so I have some, you know, exercises that I did here But I'm not gonna be sharing all my business because that's a little personal. But so morning pages continue to be great. I did all 7 days this week. A lot of action-based prompts this week again. And so one of the things that she had us do amongst many activities was start a vision board. So I went ahead and got the supplies. I kind of talked about this a little bit on my Instagram, but I went ahead and got the supplies for that. I got some magazines, I got a little poster board. And so it's actually taking me more time than I anticipated. So I'm just gonna allow myself to work through that activity leisurely. I'm not gonna like stress myself out about it, take progress, small steps toward it as often as I can. And then another thing that I did was I told you guys I was trying to get back into dancing a little bit and see what I thought about that. And so I've been trying to like take these like, you know, twerk classes or whatever in my neighborhood. And I was having like some challenges with that, like finding something really close to me and, you know, just like going back and forth with people. So I was like, you know what, let me just use what I have locally. I have a gym subscription. They have classes and stuff that I haven't really taken. So I signed up for a dance class. It was a Latin dance class. And I didn't realize that this at the time, but the Latin dance teacher wasn't there. So there was a substitute. So we didn't really do Latin dance, but I had a couple of observations about that. Number one, y'all, I don't even know if I would be able to handle an actual twerk class here in Houston, because just that little bitty class that I took, like, I felt so discombobulated. There was a point where I actually got dizzy. I was like, I'm getting like older and I don't even know the things that in my mind that I imagined myself being able to do. I don't even know if I can do that stuff anymore, because how am I taking this little, you know, little dance step class and I'm up here dizzy, like, you know, like this class isn't even all that deep. It's not even all that serious. So that was that. But then ultimately, I felt like it didn't really scratch that itch that I have to go take my little dance twerk classes. So I'm going to have to revisit that maybe another week. But I thought it was cool that I tried. But no, it didn't really quite get me to where I was going. So that was my artist date from last week. Let me see if there's any other notes. So that's all I have. That's all I have for week 7. I've already started reading week 8. And it is another chapter that kind of like, you know, tells you about yourself, kind of hits you in the throat a little bit, and encourages change. This one is more about like, you know, acknowledging that there probably have been or will be people that will try to be discouraging to you and rain on your parade. And, you know, as artists, you know, we can be a little sensitive. So, just some thoughts on like navigating that and some exercises around that. So I will kind of share my journey with that in next week's episode. So, I know this one was a long one and I was not actually planning to make it be this long, but thanks for sticking with me, for any of you guys who are following along with this journey. So yeah, thank you so much for being here. I would like to know if you guys are like engaged. Feel free to share it on my YouTube channel or come hit me up on Instagram. Like, what are your thoughts on perfectionism? Like, is that something that you feel like you struggle with? And if so, like, what kind of perfectionist are you? Are you the kind of perfectionist that like has your life together, or are you like more identify like me, like the perfectionist that maybe it took you even a minute to even just realize that, oh, maybe I am a perfectionist. Maybe you didn't even start to think about that until this episode. Maybe you already knew that and it's something that you have to work through. I would definitely love to have that conversation with you all if that's something that you guys have an experience with. It's just always so interesting to me, just as I mentioned before, to think that it is something that I have conquered, just for me to be like, boom shakalaka, here it is again. And so I have this feeling that I don't know if this will ever be something that I'll conquer 100%. I think that I'll just have to just do it, you know, item by item, learn to recognize it and learn to work through it and like all these different areas of my life. And I think that it's just going to be like a continuous learning journey for me, because every time I think I got it together, I'll be finding out real quick that I don't. So yeah, so that's one thing I'm going to just be working on in my creative journey, is stop allowing this idea that, oh, this content's not good enough, it's not developed enough, it doesn't make sense. Like, stop allowing that to get in the way of the creative process. And instead, I'm going to choose to put it out for the sake of consistency, and knowing that it is not, you know, my end goal. My end goal would be to like write a book or something like that. And knowing that this is just little stepping stones to get me there. And by not allowing myself to complete something or bring something to closure or bring something to the end, quote unquote end, because, you know, according to Julia, never ends. You just pick a stopping point, or a stopping point. That's interesting. That there's so much insight and wisdom that I can gain. And I actually have been depriving myself of that insight and wisdom by kind of like not finishing the process and not allowing myself to produce things that I don't feel like look like they're starting off great. And so and that's something that I don't want to do that. I want to like get better, and I want to, you know, kind of get more like confident with this and more consistent. And so we'll see what happens. So y'all just bear with me, okay? Thanks for being my day ones or whatever, because y'all get to see this hot mess. And you know, I know that even if I never take off as like a content creation star, this is helping me. It's gonna help me in so many different areas of my life. Like, part of my job is to communicate and to help our customers communicate. Our customers communicate with their customers. And like, I do a lot of like work with like branding and communication and messaging. And so, although, you know, I don't know what the future holds for me, no matter what, this is a very helpful skill to me. And, you know, it also allows me to like help others, and I enjoy it very much. I enjoy helping people. I enjoy connecting with people. I enjoy connecting over stories and things that we have in common. And this is something that I really would like to get better at. So that's that. So thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode, and I will talk to you guys in the next one. All right, bye.